changed a lot.
Yes.
I was thinking, you know, as Brother Jr. was talking about how they're flying the flags at state capitals, right after I got saved, I got hooked up with a group when I was young that there were a bunch of street preachers, and they would preach different events. Well, one of them was connected with a guy who, during Pride Month, when they started that, they flew the flag at the state capitol in Columbus, Ohio, and he wasn't going to have it. And I don't know if people would still do this today. There's probably laws that would be more severe than they were back in, this would be before the year 2000. But as Gideon was told to pull down his father's altar, he heard the call to go pull down that flag. And as the parade was going on, he shimmied up that flagpole, and it's all on film. And he grabbed that flag, and he pulled it down, he cut it off, and he burnt it right at the state capitol. And he did get arrested. He got thrown in jail. But because of his actions, there was a poll taken, and people were responding to it, whether they should be allowed to fly their flag there or not. And because of his actions, they enacted a law that they would not fly that flag. Now, again, this was before the year 2000. We're 20-something years down the road now. I'm sure that might have changed since then. I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out. But I have a VHS cassette copy of the lowering and burning of the Sodomite flag at the state capitol. And, you know, people stood up for righteousness. People right. stood up against it. And when we just lay down as Christian individuals, the wicked just, they have their day. And they've had their day for a long time now. And it's sad to see, and it's sad to read, you know, even back in Bible times, what was taking place and what takes place today. But that just, you brought that to my memory. I was thinking about that video that I have somewhere. Well, take your Bible. Please turn to the book of Proverbs. We just finished last week our series that we were in for about 12 weeks on the Ten Commandments. The last one we just finished up, Thou Shalt Not Covet. I hope that was an enjoyable study for you. It was for me. It's always good to dig into the Word of God and try to pull out the principle behind what's being said and see the precedent that is set in God's Word from the precept. Here in the book of Proverbs is an interesting book. We know that it was written by Solomon, the son of David. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel, and his son here, Solomon, wrote thousands of these proverbs. And we know that he was the wisest man that ever lived next to the Lord Jesus Christ. He asked for that wisdom. God gave him that wisdom. And he used that wisdom to write down these maxims here, brief statements that oftentimes contrast each other. And but he brings out a lot of individuals in the book of Proverbs, and that's what I'd like to probably, if I can, start a new little series of the people in Proverbs, because he mentions many different people. He mentions the wise man. He mentions the foolish man. He mentions the prudent man. He mentions the angry man. He mentions the slothful man. He mentions the sluggard. He mentions the virtuous woman. He mentions the faithful man. And all of these individuals we can look at and try to either pattern our life after, if it's for the good, or learn to avoid if it's for the bad. But first and foremost, in the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, we find the key that unlocks the whole book, as we may say. It says, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Right. And so right here, we can see a positive and negative in this verse of Scripture, whereby that introduces us to an individual who would fear the Lord and one who would not. Right. A fool. He despises wisdom. He despises instruction. But the man who fears the Lord, he enjoys it. He seeks after it. He patterns his life after it. And so First and foremost, that's what we'd like to discuss as the man who fears the Lord. That is something that all of us, I pray, would seek in our lives, is that we would be individuals who would fear God, because there's many blessings that come from it. But not only when we learn to obey the precept, we obtain the promises that come with it, those blessings that come when we faithfully obey the Word of God. But we can also look and see whereby when we look at the positive, the man who fears the Lord, we can see the negative also. Well, the negative is the fool. And then we can look at the fool and we can see, okay, this is the fool, and this is what he does, and this is how he responds to situations in his life, and this is how he thinks, and this is how he acts, and that's not how we want to be.
Yes.
We want to pattern our life after the other. So, by the way, I don't know if you can see it. I don't have any kind of disease here, but I went on this canoeing trip yesterday, and boy, was it sunny. I got a little burnt. My wife and some of my children got burnt. I didn't know that you had to rub the suntan spray in, and so I really didn't want to put any on, and I thought, okay, just give it to me, and so I sprayed it on this arm right here. You can see the streak, and I sprayed it on this arm, and you can see the streak, and I put it on the back of my neck, and that was it, and as you can see, it did its job, but I didn't rub it in. So if I look a little funny this morning with some stripes, that's why. So, let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd bless this Sunday school lesson, that you'd teach us how to fear you. And Lord, we can't cover all of this in just one lesson, but I pray that you would at least give us the desire to seek and understand more, that we could learn of thy word. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, here we see first and foremost that we need the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of knowledge, and that's what we're after. We want to be wise individuals. By the way, wisdom is the proper application of knowledge and understanding. Knowledge is having a general peripheral understanding of things. Wisdom is the application of that for the betterment. And so, but when we talk about this fear here, this fear is, it's a reverence or an awe. It springs from love and not terror. It's not a fear. We don't fear God in that we cower before him, though we do reverence him and respect him. And many in the Word of God, when they came before God, they fell down on their faces before him. Now, that wasn't in like a shaking terror that he's a tyrant and he's out to get me. It's just in great respect and awe. He is awesome. We stand in awe before him. A recognition of God, who he is and what he has done. A respect for his word. A respect for his will. A respect for his ways. We stand in awe of him. We reverence. By the way, the cherubims in Isaiah 6, with twain they covered their face, and with twain they covered their feet, and with twain they did fly. They had six wings. They covered themselves. They flew in fear of God and of who he is. It was interesting. We have a smart TV at the house, and so we can put YouTube on it. And there's on Sunday mornings, and most mornings I try to put it on, but Alexander Scorby, he reads through the Bible, but it also shows the words, and which is really nice because I like that too, to be able to see, hear the scripture. But I was in the other room and I was listening, and it was at that place where Jesus, when they came to him in the garden, and when he said, who do you seek, or who are they seeking? And he said, I am he. And the Bible said they fell down backwards.
Right.
Because Jesus spoke those words, I am he. They knew who the great I am was, but they fell down backwards, literally, before him. And it was just in this respect and awe and reverence that, you know, this may truly be the Son of God. But our whole religious life, quote unquote, when I say religious life, our whole religion, our whole Christianity should center around this idea of fearing God. Because there is no true wisdom which does not recognize God. If you think somebody is smart out here in the world, or if you think somebody's wise out here in the world, and they don't recognize God for who he is, they are foolish.
Right.
They are not wise, though they may have some letters after their name and have some degrees and have some position of prominence. They're fools, because the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God, the Bible says. Man can never begin to be wise until they fear God. It is the first and foremost of our Christianity. It is to be the principal thing. It deserves our utmost attention. And so the question that we ought to ask ourselves as we go through this lesson is, do I fear God? Do I reverence Him? Do I recognize Him for who He is? Because our belief will dictate our behavior. How do I recognize Him is going to come out in how I act. Does the fear of the Lord operate in my life? And by the way, I'm sure you could find many books on the fear of the Lord. They'd be from this thick to that thick. People have wrote about it for hundreds, yea, thousands of years. And so, but here in the book of Proverbs, we see where it's mentioned quite often. But let's turn to the book of, keep your place here, turn to the book of Psalms 111, please. Psalm 111, we're going to just look at two other verses here before we move on. Sounds very similar to our text. Here in Psalm 111 and verse 10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So now we have two places in agreement in the scriptures that say it is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Not just hear His commandments, but do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Now turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, please. Ecclesiastes, after the book of Proverbs, you'll find Ecclesiastes. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12, we see that the fear of the Lord, it's the whole duty of man. Verse 13. Now again, this is at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, where he recognized everything that's done under the sun is vanity and vexation of spirit. You know, a life without God, a life without the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation that He offers, the peace and joy that it brings, it's vanity. Here he says in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God.
Amen.
And keep His commandments.
Yes.
For this is the whole duty of man. You say, what am I supposed to do, Lord? What is Your will for my life? Well, here is something that's been revealed unto us that we can do. We can fear Him. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So, let's go back to the book of Psalms, please. Back to the book of Psalms. Psalm 36. So when we're talking about this fear and the fear of the Lord, the first thing that I'd like to look at is, number one, it's secured at conversion. Because naturally man does not fear God. The Bible says that the fear of God is not before man's eyes until he comes into contact with Him. The natural man does not fear God.
Amen.
Romans 3:18, again, I said, there is no fear of God before their eyes. It's not in his nature to fear God, because he is fallen, he is sinful, and he is an enemy of God, the Bible says, until he is saved. Psalm 36 and verse 1, the Bible says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. That's why the lost man does what he does. He doesn't recognize God as who he is. He doesn't reverence him. He doesn't worship him. And therefore, he is going to act very different than the man who fears God. He's going to act very different than the man who has been saved. Say, why? How could he do such a thing? He's not saved. That's why he does that. How could he say such a thing? How could he act in such a manner? He's lost. The fear of God is not before his eyes. He hasn't been tempered to learn these things. So it's secured at conversion, the attainment of it. the lost man, he does not regard God, he does not reverence God, he does not honor God, he does not esteem God. He could care less about God. Listen, I was lost. I know what it was like. There was this guy in our town that would come up. We'd be hanging out on our bikes at the McDonald's or something, and he'd come up. And we'd always try to get away real quick when we saw him coming, but he'd come and he'd start handing us these little papers and he'd start talking about God. What was he doing? He was trying to witness to us. He was giving us gospel tracts and he was always talking about names and numbers. And I was like, that's the strangest thing. What? This guy is strange. He was a Christian man. Unbeknownst to me, he killed a cop and he killed others and he went to jail for it and he got out of jail. And this is what he was doing with his life now. Trying to reach these little kids so we didn't get involved in the same thing that he got involved in. But I could care less about what he had to tell me about God. Would you, if you asked if I believed in a God, would I say yes? Yes. Everybody believes in God, don't they? They believe in something until they're taught to believe otherwise. But I didn't care what he had to tell me about God and God's love. Somebody could tell me that God loved me. Whoopee-doo. What does that mean to me? It's because I never saw my need for him. When I began to see my need for him, then what I realized what he did on the cross of Calvary, then it affected my heart. Then I responded to God. You see, the lost man, he does not fear God. He doesn't fear his judgments, his condemnation. And it's clearly seen in his talk and his walk. Even in the very end of his life, there were two thieves on the cross with Christ, was there not? And the one had to turn to the other and say, dost thou not fear God? Listen to the way you're talking. Don't you fear God? No, he didn't fear God. He could care less about God. He lived his life without God, and now he's going to die without God. But you know what? The other thief was like, Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise, Jesus said. He had a change of heart, amen. He got saved, praise the Lord. And you know what? He didn't have to get baptized. He didn't have to join the church. He didn't have to give to the tithes and offerings. He didn't have to take communion. But today, he was with him in paradise, amen. Salvation takes place the moment faith takes hold. When repentance and faith gets a hold of your heart. But, you know, the lost man, he lives life without God and he'll die without God. He lives a life not fearing God and he dies, even in the end, not fearing God. So where or when, what are we trying to build here? So where or when does this happen in a man's life? When does he begin to fear God? When he repents. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians 7. You see, man has to come into contact with God. And the only time we come into contact with God is when we repent. When we recognize our sinfulness before him and we see his goodness toward us. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When we have a change of mind that results in a change of action. A change of mind of who God is and who we are. And a change of action, the way I've been living and what I've been doing. Now, do I change myself to secure that salvation? No, no. But repentance and faith, they come together, hand in hand. Look here, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. A quick example. The sorrow of the world worketh death. Now, how about Judas? He was sorry about what he did when he came back to those priests there and he gave back the money. He was sorry, but it wasn't repentance.
Right.
Whereas the thief on the cross was repentant. There's a difference. That worked death in Judas's life. It worked life. In that thief's life, though he died for the consequences of his crimes, he was justified. Verse 11, for behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after, a godly sort, What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. You see, the fear begins when we repent. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You say, wait, Hebrews chapter 11, isn't that the hall of faith? Yes. But look what it has to say about fear in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You see, he was so moved with fear in this idea when he exercised faith to go ahead and do what God said. Why? Because he came into contact with God. God said, hey, listen, I want you to build this boat because judgment is coming. But you'll be safe if you get in this boat that you build. The fear came in his life. And he exercised faith through that fear. And he was saved. And his household was saved. If there's no faith, there'll be no fear. Turn to Psalm 130. Again, we're moving around, just comparing Scripture with Scripture. Psalm 130. This fear flows from the forgiveness of God. When we realize at repentance and faith all that God has done for us and we recognize who he is, we kind of get put in our right position that he is God and I am not. And then we begin to see all the good things God has done for us. And we realize and we enjoy the forgiveness of sins and the weight of that burden is now off of our back. Look what it says here in verse 4 of Psalm 130. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. That forgiveness, and we realize who God is and what he has done for us, we begin to stand in awe of him. And we fear him. Again, it's not a terror, though we recognize who he is. The word fear is more of a reverence. I now reverence him and I honor him because look at all that he has done for me. Jeremiah 32. Men are brought to this place of fearing God through salvation. Because when do men begin to fear the Lord? Well, they don't begin to fear him before they're saved.
Right.
Jeremiah 32. So, I mean, we can say that the Scriptures teach us if you have not his fear, he is not your God.
Yeah. Right.
If you don't fear him, you don't have faith in him. And if you don't have faith in him, you can't please him. And if you can't please him, you're still of the flesh. And if you're still of the flesh, you cannot see God. Amen. Jeremiah 32 and verse 39 and 40. The Bible says, verse 38, let's start there. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. So God's giving us this heart. God's giving us this way through his word to what? To fear him for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. He gives us that reverence and that awe and that respect. Lord, who shall we turn to? Thou hast the words of everlasting life. You've already revealed yourself to us, and by faith we have responded and submitted. Now we fear thee. You see, salvation attains it. The Scriptures maintain it. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4. God's word will teach me. God's word will instruct me in the fear of the Lord. Because can I just approach God any way I choose? Can I just speak about him any way I choose? Can I just live for him any way I choose? Or is there a pattern or a principle in the Word of God that teaches me how to fear him? Well, there is. It's in my Bible. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 10, the Bible says this. Look at verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou in Horeb, the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. By the way, the day that they stood before him in Horeb was the day when they received the law. Amen. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. That was the day of the conviction. That was the day of repentance and faith. That was the day of recognizing, okay, this is our God, and we are going to be his people. And now he's going to teach us his ways, and we're going to walk in those ways. The scriptures maintain it, because we are of flesh. And you know what? Sometimes spirit wanes and our flesh gets strong, and we're not going to maintain that proper reverence for God. Isn't that what we see in our day today? People don't fear him. Go to Proverbs chapter 2, back to the book of Proverbs where we started. Proverbs 2. You see, the more time I spend in the Word, the more I apply the Word, the more I will fear God. The more I will reverence him and respect him. Where did I tell you? Proverbs 2. Look at verses 1 through 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Verse 5, then. Remember the if-then principle we brought out many weeks ago in Sunday school? If you do these things, then I will do this. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Only then will I understand and find. If I what? If I do verse 1 through 4. If I what? If I receive, if I hide, if I incline, if I apply, if I cry, if I lift up my voice, if I seek, then I'll understand it. So, we've run out of time. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments, the Bible says. Do you fear him this morning? Do you want to maintain this fear? Do you want to elevate this fear? Then you know what? We just need to get back into the Word, because this is what's missing in our day and age. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for what it teaches us and what we can learn. I pray that we would apply it to our lives. Thank you for salvation, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that brings this fear into my life where I can recognize and reverence you as God. I pray, Lord, that you would do a great work in our midst this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. You're dismissed. We'll start again in about 10 minutes.